All right. I want to use this morning for a few minutes some scripture out of the New Testament, out of the 8th chapter, out of the book of John. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. I want to stop right there and just kind of talk about two or three different things here this morning. One of the writers in the New Testament said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know to do good and we don't do it. It is sin. We're always talking about all the things that we do that are sinful and the things that other people do that are sinful. And we forget sometimes that there are sins of omission as well as commission. And you all have heard me say a number of times that I'm a lot more concerned about my sins of omission than I am my sins of commission. And that's not to say that I don't commit enough of them. I do. I commit more than my share, and I always have a job of trying to keep myself straight in that respect. But I also know there are many times that I know that I should do something, that I don't do it. I don't get it done for whatever reason. And sometimes I can come up with a legitimate excuse, and sometimes I can't. And the Bible, again, if you believe like I do, believe that sin is sin. There's no big sins, no little sins, no white sins, no black sins. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And so we need to understand that sometimes, even though when we know what it is that we should do, we fail to do it. But we'll disguise that many times in something else. And that's exactly what was happening. First of all, these men who came here, the scribes and the Pharisees who came to the Lord, one of the first things they were wanting to do was disrupt the teaching which he was doing here in the temple. There were people who thronged unto the Lord as he was here upon the earth, and after he had begun his public ministry. I haven't forgotten all of my English, and I knew that didn't sound right as soon as I said it. But after he had begun his ministry, and he was preaching and as he was teaching, there were people who came from all different places to hear him. And I'm convinced today that people still want to hear what the Lord has to say. I'm convinced there are people who want to hear the word of the Lord. And that's what you and I need to be preaching and teaching and telling people, is what thus saith the Lord. I'm always reminded of the old prophet that the Lord spoke unto him and said, when I send you down to the children of Israel, I'm going to send you down to a people that you're acquainted with. I'm going to send you down there, and I want you to go down there, and I want you to begin every time you begin by saying, thus saith the Lord. That's your text. That's your message, is what thus saith the Lord. But the Lord said to the old prophet, he said, but I'm going to tell you right now, before you go, they're not going to hear you. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to heed what you have to say, because they will not hear me. Now, sometimes we get this ego feeling that, you know, people should hear us and people should accept what it is that we have to say because of who we are and what we are. We are God's children, and they need to hear us. Let me tell you something. If they won't hear the Lord, I don't know what makes us think that they're going to hear us. Because the Lord is certainly more important than any one of us are. And many times he is speaking to their hearts and he's dealing with them, and to no avail. But the Lord did not excuse the old prophet. He said, you know, I want you to go down there anyway, and I want you to tell them what I say. And then whether they hear or whether they will forbear, they will know there has been a prophet among them. So our responsibility is to teach the word of the Lord. Jesus was here in the temple, and he was teaching the people. He was teaching his disciples. He was preparing them for what lay ahead for them as they continued their ministry after that he was gone. He also was preparing them for what was going to happen when he sent them out. He'd already sent them out on this occasion. They'd come back in. They'd been a number of times and reported back to him. But they still needed to learn more. There's never going to be a time in your life when there isn't going to be some room for improvement in our knowledge and our learning and our understanding of what the Word of the Lord says. We always have a greater capacity to be able to absorb the Word of the Lord than what we are ever going to maximize it out. We're not going to reach the point to where we just, you know, we know it all. Not a single one of us. But we do need to study His Word and to be able to teach it. So the first thing was, these men, as they came in here, Pharisees and the scribes, as they came in here, they were being disruptive of what the Lord was teaching. Satan has always had so many different ways of disrupting the work of the Lord, of the teaching of the Word, of the preaching of the Word, of the practice of the Word. And he'll use everything that's available to him and anyone that's available to him to cause any disruption or anything that he can to cause that from going forward. Now then, the Bible says that these scribes and the Pharisees, so when they came in here, they brought a woman with them. We're going to make an example out of her. It's exactly what they were saying. Now, they really weren't necessarily going to want to make an example out of her to get her straightened out and to help her with her life. They were wanting to use her to get the Lord trapped into taking a position that they believed he would have to take that would be contrary to the old Mosaic law. They brought her in here. The Bible says that they had taken this woman who they had caught in the very act of adultery. And I'm not going to get off on that issue this morning because probably I'd get in a lot of trouble there. But the Bible is very clear about this. And again, when we study the Word, we don't have to worry about it. But here's the point that I want you to understand. The Bible says that these men came in here, the Pharisees and the scribes, and they said to the Lord, now, we've caught this woman, and here's what the law says needs to happen. And we know what needs to be done. Let me tell you something this morning. God does not leave His children in ignorance. God does not allow us to know what we should be doing as one of His children. The only reason that we won't know what it is that God wants out of each one of us as individuals and what God wants out of us as the church is that we don't ask Him. Sometimes we don't want to know. Sometimes we do know and we don't want to do. There can just be all kinds of different things. Here's the point that I want you to understand this morning. These men knew what the law said. Why didn't they carry it out? Why didn't they do what they said? They're strong advocates of the law. They're strong keepers of Mosaic law. I mean, they go to great lengths to be able to carry out some of the things that Mosaic law says. But here again, when it comes time for them to do something, which the Bible very clearly teaches what they should have done, oh, you've got to go back over. And there wasn't any question about what should have happened to this woman. And these men knew the law. But they didn't mean to do anything about it. They wanted somebody else to do it. We've got a lot of people today who know what it is that God wants out of them, but they don't want to do it. They want somebody else to do it. Yeah, that's somebody else's responsibility. That's not mine. Let me tell you something. God still works in individuals' hearts. God works one-on-one. I just sat down last night and I was going through a lot of old papers that I've had over the years. I've accumulated more, and I'm always accusing everybody else, and especially that I used to accuse Shirley of saving everything under the sun. But I've got a pile of papers, and I ran onto one where I'd preached a sermon one time on and using numbers. And you start out with a number like several hundred thousand, and you just keep breaking it down scripturally with examples in the Word of the Lord until you get down to the number one. Yeah, get down to number one. Now, let me tell you something. God doesn't work on the church. You hear me? I want you to be sure you heard what I said. He works on the individuals. It takes individuals to make a church. It takes certain kind of individuals to make a church. And so a lot of times people say, well, that's the church's responsibility. Well, who is the church? What is the church? Sometimes that's me. Sometimes that's you that God is dealing with. He isn't dealing with, quote, the church. He isn't dealing with, quote, the lost humanity. Nor is he dealing with the saved brethren out there. He's dealing with every single one of us as an individual. Every single one of us. And so it isn't sufficient for me sometimes to be able to say, well, that's somebody else's responsibility. They're the one that needs to be taken care of that. If God is dealing with me about it, it's my responsibility. When I first began preaching, it was common practice for preachers to say, well, you know, if the church don't pray for me, I won't be able to preach. Well, let me tell you something. I'll guarantee you this morning that if I don't have the prayers of this church, God will give me a message to preach about praying. Don't you ever for a second think, God didn't say, Parson, I've called you to preach my word, and if that church will pray for you, I'll let you preach. Doesn't work that way, folks. I'll guarantee you all I've got to do is depend upon the Lord and get myself in place. And just as I say, I'll guarantee you if I can do that, God will give me the message. He's done it time and time and time again. And it's not dependent upon someone else. It's dependent upon Him and me. And you're the same situation. God lays something upon your heart to do. You need to do that. And it doesn't make any difference whether anyone else approves of it, likes it, dislikes it, or what. If God's involved in it and you'll do what God wants you to do, I'll guarantee you it'll be successful. May not be successful the way you count success, but it'll be successful because you did His will. You were obedient unto Him. These men came in there and says, listen, you know what Moses said in the law? Moses in the law said such and one should be stoned. But we want to know what you say. And they said this, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. That's tough. It is tough sometimes to act as though you didn't hear what someone said directly to you. And you know you're getting set up. You know it's a lie. You know it's not the truth. You know whatever it is, there's an ulterior motive involved. You know, this is not new. We see it. It still happens all the time today. People sometimes, I guess they just think that I'm as dumb as I look. But once in a while, you know, I do have a little bit of common sense. It's pretty hard sometimes not to hear some things. And I'm not nearly as good at it as the Lord was. The Bible says the Lord stooped down and he wrote up on the ground. Someone asked me, said, well, what do you think he wrote? I don't have a clue what he wrote. I don't know what he wrote. It just says he did. As so he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, I want you to notice they're persistent. Don't you ever think for a second that Satan isn't persistent. If God's people were half as persistent and would continue with as much effort as Satan will put out to destroy the cause of Christ, I'll guarantee you we'd be setting the world on fire today for the Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lord, the first little thing comes along that I just quit. I tried it once and it didn't work. How many times have I heard that out of the church? Out of God's people. I tried it once and it didn't work. It's the first time that I ever tried to preach. I could have got out of it. I'd have already quit right after that first time, I'll guarantee you. Because it didn't work. I didn't think so anyway. Lord. But let me tell you something. God doesn't just let us off the hook because we try something wrong and it doesn't work. We need to be a little more persistent in His work. We need to be a little more insistent sometimes about His work. I used to once in a while share with an aunt of mine some of the things that were going on. And she said, well, I tell you what, I just tell those people what to do. And I just laugh at her. I said, you know what? I can't tell them what to do. Because I'll tell you what they do. They say, I don't have to come back here. That's true. Did you know that? I can't tell y'all some things I'd like to tell you. Not always. I love you people. You know that. But once in a while, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I get a little burn in my tail then, and I just like to tell them what I think. Well, I'll just run you off. You say, well, I don't have to go up there and put up to that. Well, you shouldn't, because you didn't come up here to hear me rant and rave. You come up here to hear the word of the Lord. I hope that's what you're here for, to serve the Lord and to worship Him. The Lord stooped down and wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. But they kept right on, continuing to ask Him, and He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. He said, let me tell you something. I know the law too. I know the law you quoted to me. I know you just half quoted it to me. I know what the law says, and it says that the guilty party is the one who has to cast the first stone. Now, you want this woman stoned? If you're here today and you're without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone at her. Yeah. Once in a while, Ronnie, we just have to put it like it is. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. I still have more trouble with Kent Parson than any other person upon the face of the earth. I do. I cannot, on a full-time job, keep him in line. And when I've got to spend all of my time to trying to keep him straightened out, I don't have a lot of time to straighten you out. And most of the time, you're in a lot better position than I am. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured back unto you. Why beholdest thou the beam that is in thy brother's, the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? First, pluck the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to take the beam or the mote out of thy brother's eye. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. We spend so much time in trying to keep everybody else's lives straightened out, and we don't spend enough time straightening our own out. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, I've said to you many times, and I've got to quit, but that isn't what I've said to you many times. I've said that too, but I've said to you many times that I cannot convict anyone. I cannot convert anyone. I never have been able to do that. I don't believe you can either. But I know one who can. I know one who does. I know one who, as well as I stand before you this morning, has the power to convict a person in spite of the devil and everything he'd do. And I also know one who can convert the same individual that he's convicted in spite of all the powers there are that Satan can muster, that God can do that. But I do not have that ability. I cannot tell you this morning what is wrong and what is right other than what the Word of the Lord says. But I guarantee you, every one of you know in your own heart. And the Bible says, as Jesus stooped back down and wrote again upon the ground, that one by one, as they were convicted by their own conscience, they began to disappear. They very quietly went out. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" Now listen. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Does anybody condemn you? No, they haven't condemned me. The reason they hadn't, they didn't have that power. They come there to show their goodness, to try to entrap the Lord, and they went away because their own conscience had convicted them of the wrong they were doing. And Jesus asked her, he said, did they condemn you? She said, "No, man." And he said, "Neither do I." Now, he did not condone the act of adultery. What he did condone was the fact that she was here and that she was at the right place. And he said to her, "You go your way and sin no more." And he did instruct her in that respect. "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her."